RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
The crab and how he sees. What the heck does that mean? Why should we be interested? Well, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about it because it leads to a very interesting conclusion and something you're well aware of, and that is robots and drones. The blue crabs range from Louisiana to Long Island, but there's one special place they really like to mate, and that is in the Chesapeake Bay. Across the 100 square miles of beige shallows, the bare gray months are blossoming in the spring with all kinds of wild grasses and aquatic vegetation that these guys like to eat and to hide in. The Chesapeake is actually the runoff of six different states and has a massive large-scale pollution from sewage, development, agriculture, clouding the water with excessive algae. But efforts have been made to change that. So the blocking of the light, which is needed for the grass glows, is necessary to be reversed. Fortunately, these underground areas are still thriving around several of the islands. It's kind of like the reverse of the autumn leaves falling. The blue crabs, by millions, are scuttling up the winter burial grounds in the muddy bottoms. These fusiform bodies in the sunny shallows, glinting all of an ivory tones with crimson and cerulean claws. Among the first to arrive are the immature females, the she crabs called the maiden crabs, because they have not done their last molt. They did not quite make it to that final molting before the cold weather set in. Blue crabs shed their shells some 20 times in their 2 to 3 year lifetime. And it's only in the final shed that the maiden crab becomes a sook, capable of reproducing once before she dies. The maiden crabs have two things on their mind, to molt and to mate. It's a two-day ritual courtship, believe it or not, where the sensitive, loving male crab helps the female crab get out of the shell. It's kind of strange to hear sensitive when the animal has a Latin name of Cancer. So the big male gently backs up and helps the female. All of this is by introduction to how crabs see. How do they see each other in the murky shallows? Well, they have about 8,000 eyes. The eyes are called ommatidia. And consider them, like other insects, consider them as being one pixel each, scattered in all directions. So the crab with these eyes sticking out in front of them can see 360 degrees. So they know what's coming above and below and side to side. They don't know whether they're going to eat it or going to run from it. Each ommatidia has a lens. And the ones in front are much larger, so they can make out the best details. The ones on top are smaller, because they just need to determine like the amount of illumination and how close they are to the surface. These cells are hexagonal, like bathroom tiles, and they're shaped like carrots, not round like our eyeballs. There's 6 or 9 long tubes inside of each cell with a ring of pigment. Behind our retina, we have a layer of pigment that reflects the light onto our receptors. So that helps reflect the light onto the receptor. And so the crabs can see 360. It can see green, blue, UV, and detect what's good for eating and what's toxic. So these 8,000 eyes are necessary for survival. We as humans have 2 eyes, but we have perhaps 1 million pixels. But we only see directly straight ahead and partially for 100 degrees, 180 degrees, but nothing behind us. But the reason for this apocryphal tale is the crab has become the model for the development of robotics. The first robots had cameras placed on top of the head, but they could only see straight ahead. And they could only see to some degree straight ahead. By moving to the crab model like the ommatidia, what happens is the robot can see 360. To know where it's going and its context. And so when drones are working too, there's some effort to put these in drones. So we learn from our animal forebears some things that we may be an evolutionary dead end for, but the robotics are still continuing from the past. Well, this part of the show is called Ask the Wizard, and I review some of the important articles that come out this week. A great one came out from the University of Miami, and apparently people who get regular exercise can take 10 years off their brain's age. And this is done with cognitive testing as well as MRI documentation. And so they took a whole bunch of women, and the Journal of Neurology published the article, and they found nearly 900 people that many of the people fell into the low intensity group. But the ones who did regular exercise, whether it was yoga, walking, running, etc., 7 years later were tested for memory and thinking skills and had a brain MRI. Last week I reported another study that shows brain volume, not anything else, but brain volume increases with regular exercise. So, I mean, it's one thing to do if you're worried about neurodegenerative disease or memory loss. And obviously, it's an important thing and easy one to do. Well, eating right is also something that's rather useful, you might say. Another study came out just this week about cataracts in identical female twins. They took 1,000 pairs of female twins in Britain and looked at their food intake over a number of years. The mean age of these people was approximately 60 to 61. They found that women who consumed diets rich in vitamin C and ate 2 servings of fruit and 2 servings of vegetables a day had a 20% lower risk of cataracts than those who ate less. So 10 years later, with 324 of the twin pairs, identical twin pairs left, it was found that those, again, who had the higher nutrient level of C had the lower risk of cataracts. But perhaps even more importantly than something that might be intuitive is that 30% of the difference was due to genetics, but 65% was due to epigenetics. Translating that is, your genes are one thing, but how your genes are transcribed is another. What you do makes the difference. Well, eyes never stop. There's no 401k for eyes. It's important to pay attention to these things. The collapse of that bridge in India is due to the loss of looking at maintenance of your infrastructure. Your eyes need infrastructure as well. You need maintenance. You need an eye exam periodically. You need to take the specific nutrients that are helpful. I devised iComplex CS, which you can find at iComplexCS.com, precisely for the reason that there are not very good, many good eye vitamins out there. And it's important to add the extra nutrients because you're constantly massaged by photons of light and you're not sure of your eating habits and what's in your food. At least by having dietary supplements like iComplex CS, it's a great way to start not only your day, but your life. So it's important, as the Wizard of Eyes, to share total body health, because that's what nourishes the eyes and protects the eyes. It's important to share some of the literature findings, because that helps substantiate things that we know that may possibly be true. But only you can do your own assessment of your body, have periodic evaluation, exercise, and eat as well as you can. You're in charge. You're the temple. It's your temple. So take care of it. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a medical detective. We want you to always see well, and please stay well.